Thank you, Father. Bless you. May be seated. Bless your holy name, Lord. You are holy, Lord, and you are worthy, God. Hallelujah. So good to see each and every one of you today. On this great getting up morning, Jesus has risen. Amen. He has risen and you are free. But I feel a lot of bondage in the room. I feel a lot of you are carrying some heavy, heavy weights. I feel such a heavy burden right now for so many of you. I don't know why. I don't know who. God haven't given me any of that. But I just feel like a lot of y'all are walking in here with a heavy bondage and a heavy, heavy something in your life. And I'm believing that today, by the end of this message, God's going to help you and help you be redeemed from that. And God's going to bless you and encourage you and set you free. Because he's in the business of setting people free. Amen. So honored that you have chosen to come today to worship with us on Easter. I mean, there's so many churches in town, so many big churches that don't have Lake Impact out there behind them, you know. But you chose to be here and fight through the water and fight through all the weather and be here. And I am so incredibly honored that you chose to follow the voice of this house and be here today and let us minister to you in such a special way. In case you don't know, my name is Pastor Doug. And I'm the pastor here, and we started in January 26, 2016. We just finished our seventh year. We are beginning right now our eighth year. Praise God for that. We are a church where nobody is perfect. Everybody's got questions. Everybody is loved, and everybody can be changed together by God. And so if you come today and you got questions, if you come here today and you're doubting God, that's okay. If you come in here and you don't believe in God, that's okay. You're here. God brought you here. I don't care if you were drug here by somebody else. God had them drag you. I don't know. But you're not here by mistake. Maybe if nothing else, it's just to realize that all churches ain't the same. Because you might have been in a church that you had church hurt, that you had abuse, that you've had all kinds of situations. But I'm here to tell you today that as a pastor, that's something that I try my very best. I tell people, you know, if you're going to hurt people, you probably need to be the one to leave, not them. Right? Because we're going to love on people. We're going to care about people. We're going to take our time with people. We're going to get to know people and build relationships with them rather than judge them. Amen? And so it's so cool that we come from all different backgrounds. You know, all different backgrounds. Everybody's different here. Everybody comes from different, you know, some have more money, some have less money, some have this, some have that, some have more education, some have less education. And, it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter if you went to college. It doesn't matter anything. All that matters is we are all here together in one mind and one accord, focusing on the same person. We're here today for one reason, and that's to celebrate Jesus. And the fact that Jesus was risen from the dead. Now, did you know, let me a little fun fact. I'm going to throw some fun out here at the very beginning. Did you know that when Jesus rose from the dead, that other people raised from the dead too? Luke 24:1-6. But very early, well, first off, I'm going to read another scripture, then I'm going to tell you about that. Very early in the morning, the woman went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood, they were puzzled. Two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. They were women. The women were terrified and bowed their heads and faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen." So now, I haven't actually witnessed somebody being resurrected. I wish I had. That would be really cool. I mean, I can just see the headlines now. Man raised from the dead at his funeral. Two more died from a heart attack. Right? Because everybody's like, oh my God, that's crazy, right? But people did raise from the dead. Whenever he rose from the dead. Let me read it to you. And it's in Matthew 27:50-54. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. And he committed his spirit to God. At that moment, the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. Why was it ripped from top to bottom? Because normally it was ripped from the bottom up towards the top because the priest had to go in, and only priests could go in, right? And so therefore, what God said was, when my son dies, he ripped it from the top to the bottom and saying, I'm giving you access into my presence. You don't have to go through a priest. You can come to me. I don't care who you are. Everybody is welcome to come to me. Okay, this is earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs opened. Listen, the bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. But listen, but they left the cemetery. They stayed. They rose with the dead, but they didn't leave the cemetery until after they left the cemetery after Jesus resurrected. And then he went into the holy city of Jerusalem and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. And they said, "This man truly is the Son of God." I'd be terrified too. If I saw Jesus die on a cross and then he resurrected, then all of a sudden other graves started popping up. And what that was, do you know what that was? That was just a little glimpse, a little foreshadowing of the rapture to come. He said, "I'm just not resurrecting myself. You're going to be resurrected too, and let me show you I got power to do it." And so he did it right that very day. I love that. Jesus is the greatest Easter story ever told. It's about his infinite love for you and for me through his son Jesus. It's a plan of salvation. He loved you so much. He loved you so much that Easter is about love because he gave his only son for you and for me. That whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I don't care what your background is. I don't care if you're addicted. I don't care if you're broke. I don't care if you got issues, if you're sick, you're diseased. I don't care how bad your past is. I don't care what's going on in your life. God says today you can come to him and you can receive Christ and you are worthy of that because his sacrifice made you worthy for that. He died. And when he died, it rocked the world of all his disciples. His disciples were like, "Wow, this is crazy. We've seen you raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. We've seen you call Lazarus out of the tomb. And you raise people from the dead. But now you're dead. Now what's going to happen? There's nobody to raise you from the dead." But see, what it was God raised him from the dead. The resurrection power was in him, and God raised him up from the dead. And they didn't understand it. But on the third day, all of a sudden, the tomb opened up, and Jesus came out. And all of a sudden, that was not the end. That was the beginning. People make Easter about the punishment. You know, and about the death and about the burial. And it was bad. I mean, the punishment they had, you know, they put a crown of thorns on his head and blood was pouring down his face. And they whipped him where Scripture says he was unrecognizable. He was swollen and beaten to a pulp. You ain't never seen nobody beat this bad. And ripped and shredded the pieces. And people make it all about that. But if someone did that and they got beat down that bad and got jumped that bad, then and they died and they never rose from the dead, then it would just be a martyr. What sets Jesus apart from every other God that ever died or every other person people worship, anybody else in the universe, is the fact that he died and rose back from the dead. The resurrection not only changed everything for them, it changed everything for us as well. Jesus came to rescue us. That is the gospel. The gospel means bringing good news of great joy. And that good news changes your life forever. That good news is the fact that Jesus came, born from a Virgin Mary. He lived his life. He did miracles. He was crucified, buried, and rose on the third day. And today he is in the heaven, sitting beside at the right hand of the Father. And the gospel changes things forever for each and every one of us. And the reality is that we're all slaves to sin. We were all slaves to sin and death. We needed a Messiah. I talked about this last week. We needed a Messiah. We didn't need a political Messiah. You know, and we're still looking for some kind of political Messiah right now today. But the thing is I told everybody last week, we're not Democrats and we're not Republicans. We are Christians. It don't matter who's in the Oval Office because we have Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We have Jehovah Rapha, our healer. You know, Jehovah Shammah is always there. He's the one that we look to. He's the one that we know that reigns supremely, and he's the one that dictates our life. We are subject to the government, but Christ is the one that we look to for our strength and for our substance. And so we didn't need a political savior. We didn't need a social savior. We needed someone that would come and fight for us and win and not fight the way that the Jews thought he was going to fight. They thought he was coming bare knuckles, but he came in love and he fought and beat the enemy, not Rome. And it was a good gift that God gave us. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." Well, let me break that down just a second for you. The wages. When you go to work and you get a paycheck, that is your wages. That's wages for the work that you did. Amen? Okay, so when you sin, the wages of sin is death. So the payment that we deserve for our work, our sin, is death. It says, but the free gift of God is eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. So he's saying, you deserve death. I deserve death. You deserve death. We deserve death. But the free gift of Jesus Christ, sending his son on the cross, Jesus Christ dying for our sins, that is a free gift that gives us eternal life forever and ever. He paid the payment for us. He paid the penalty. He was the sacrifice. There had to be a sacrifice, and he's the one who paid that sacrifice. 2 Corinthians 9:15. It says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. See, every gift that we have that's good comes from God. Triffin says, every good and perfect gift comes from God. Right? But see, no gift reveals his love for us any more than his son. Whenever he spoke to Moses, he spoke to Moses in a burning bush. Remember that story where the bush was on fire, but it was not consumed? He spoke to him through a burning bush. He talked to King Belshazzar, and King Belshazzar, he wrote on a hand writing on a wall. It said it was a hand writing on a wall. He talked to the Israelites and directed them by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And then also he talked to the shepherds by the star. If he wanted to get a word to someone, he always used the message of his word was communicating through a message. But when he wanted to communicate his love, he sent his son. He's like, you know what? This is something I just can't communicate through a message. I don't want to give a handwriting. I don't want to give a star. I don't want to give a cloud. I got to physically let them understand. And I got to send somebody among them. I got to take somebody and make my son go down there in flesh and live with them in their flesh. And so when he wanted to communicate his love, he sent Jesus. See, he showed his love to us and to everyone he was at. He sat down with Zacchaeus, a horrible, notorious sinner, and he shared his love. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he? He sat up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see, right? Okay, so Jesus told him, come down, go to your house. He went to his house. He sat down with him and shared the love of God with him, and his life was changed, and his family's life was changed forever. He cared about the woman with the issue of blood that was dying for 12 years, had been bleeding, and all she went through was just touch the hem of his garment, and she was healed and made whole. He wept with his friend when his friend died, Lazarus, before he called him forth. He wept with Mary and Martha, showing his humanity of how he cared about them. And then also he talked to the woman at the well and blessed her and set her free and showed her things that she's always wanted to know. He opened blinded eyes. He healed the lame. He set the captives free. He touched the lepers. He touched the untouchable. And they were going to get mad at him because unclean, unclean. But the moment he touched them, they became clean, and they didn't know how to handle that. It doesn't matter what you've done. A lot of you in here are saying, I'm in church, and I'm surprised the whole house didn't fall down when I walked through the door. I'm surprised lightning didn't strike this building and everybody in here with it. Because I'm here. Because I'm bad. I'm mean. I'm evil. Or maybe you're just like, I just don't know Jesus, and I just don't care to know Jesus. But I want you to know, no matter how far you came, I want you to know you cannot outrun the love of God, because he died for every one of us. He wrapped his gift to us not in paper. He didn't wrap it in a pretty little bag. He didn't put a bow or ribbon on it. He put his son on a cross. He wrapped it in the passion of the cross. So you see, God is the judge, right? Jesus is our intercessor. He's our advocate. He's our lawyer. And Satan is a prosecutor. And so here's the deal. So you got God the judge, Jesus is an advocate, and Satan is a prosecutor. And Satan said there has to be a death. Somebody's got to die for this. You know what? All the people that follow you, Jesus, all them need to die. Every one of them should have to die. They deserve death, and we all do for our sin. Every one of us deserves death for all the sin that we have. And God, the Father, looked at the Son and nodded his head. And Jesus said, I'll go. I'll be the sacrifice. I'll be the one. See, it's a whole setup, because what's so great about this is our daddy is the judge. Our brother is our advocate. Satan ain't got a chance. Knowing how much of God, they love us and care for us. And Jesus is like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead. And Jesus went on the cross and went up there, and he walked out of that grave, and he went down to hell to grab those that were down there that were going to go to heaven with him. And I'm sure he looked at Satan and dropped the mic and said, I rest my case. I rest my case. I'm done. I'm done, son. Right? So the thing is that I've done it. I've paid the price. Leave him alone. Right? So greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. And one of the ways that God loves us or shows us that we can show love to his son is through communion. We took communion last week. You know, and we take the bread and the bread represents his body that was broken and beaten for us. And then we take the wine, and the wine or the juice we use is symbolization of his blood. And we remember him, we put the body and the blood back together and whole. You know, and that's one way God gets us to worship him. And he says, remember me. Remember my sacrifice. He said, when you do this, which means it's a command, do this in remembrance of me. When you do this, remember me. Remember my sacrifice. Remember the blood was shed. Remember that the love that I gave you. You know, and so that's one way to worship, because if you think about the word worship, we think worship is music. The first time that the word worship ever was in the Holy Bible is in Genesis with Abraham, when he was going to go kill his son Isaac. And he said, me and Isaac, y'all stay here. Me and Isaac are going to the mountain to worship. They went up to worship, and he said, y'all stay here. So they went up to worship, and you know the story. And if you don't, I'll tell you, there was a ram in the thicket, and Jesus and Abraham looked and heard the ram, and God said, don't kill him. Sacrifice the ram. It was never meant for Abraham to kill Isaac. It was never going to happen. The whole time, it was just God looking for obedience, and it had to be a sacrifice. The Abraham was obedient, and the ram was a sacrifice. So therefore, worship isn't really about music. Worship is about obedience and sacrifice. Through that obedience and sacrifice, we want to worship and glorify God through music and song. That is a reflection. That is an outflow from our sacrifice and our obedience to God. So, Romans 5 and 8. But God demonstrates his love, his own love, for us in this. That while we were still sinners, he died for us. That's why I titled the message what I did. He died for us. Because us includes you. When he died for us, it includes you, every one of you in this room. If you were the only one on this earth, he still would have died, because you were his child, and he don't want any of y'all to have to pay the penalty of death for him. And he said, I'm going to pay it. That's why I said that us includes you. Everybody's not inclusive like that, though. Universities, you know, if you're not smart enough, then you can't get into a university. You know, businesses, if you don't have a good enough degree, you aren't qualified enough, or you don't got good enough credit, then businesses don't want your business. If, you know, girls exclude you if you're in band. I was in band. If you dated in high school when you were in band, you dated other band girls, because other girls didn't want to date band members. But the sad thing is that churches exclude you. Now, because of the way you look, the way you act, the way you smell, your background, your history, your addictions, your fears, the way you look, all that, churches exclude you. But I'm here to tell you today that God never excludes you. I'm here to tell you today that Kingdom Impact is not going to exclude you. We're going to love you. We're going to care for you. I don't care what your situation is. That's up to God. My job is to love you unconditionally and let God work it out with you. I'm here for you. And God has done that. We've had many that have been set free from sickness, and we've had several heal from cancer, many heal from anxiety. We've had several that have been delivered from drugs and addiction and alcohol. We have other people that are still on their path to that. We had some other people just recently that gave their life to God and broke that addiction of alcohol in their life. And God is doing it. But surely there has to be an end to this love, right? Well, David couldn't find the end of it. David was an adulterer. He, as a king, he slept with somebody else's wife, and then he killed the man. But after he killed the man, he repented, loved God, kept going with God, and then after he killed a man and slept with somebody's wife, he was the only person in the Bible to be a man after God's own heart. Paul walked around killing Christians. He persecuted Christians. He killed Christians all the time. But after he came to Christ, he repented of his sins, and he turned around, and all of a sudden, He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. This man that was a murderer wrote part of the Bible. It was that much of a radical transformation. Peter was a liar and a betrayer. But he repented to God, and then all of a sudden he's preaching, and 5,000 get saved, 3,000 get saved. He preached all these Gentiles, and man, everybody was receiving Christ. When it came to their own life, they hit rock bottom. But when it came to God's love, they never hit rock bottom of God's love. There's always more than enough love for people in that. Yeah, they had a past, just like you do. But God had a plan. And God not only had a plan, He has a plan for you and for me. The prophet Isaiah talked about it in Isaiah 53:5. But He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole, and He was whipped so we could be healed. King James says, He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. See, but it says that He was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. See, he wasn't beaten because some of us need to be delivered from our sins. He was beating because all of us need to be rescued and redeemed from our sins. He was beating so we can be made whole. He took stripes on His back for your healing of your sicknesses and your diseases. And He took and suffered the punishment for our sins, not for His sins. He was blameless. He was sinless. Here's the thing. He took all the sins, not just the sins of that day, not just the sins of today, but the sins for the rest of time. You know what sin feels like whenever you are dealing with sin in your life and you feel repercussions and you reap what you sow, you feel that pain afterwards? Well, Jesus was on the cross and took all the pain, every bit of the pain of the world ever to happen. So He has truly felt all your pain. There's no kind of pain you're going to go through that Christ has not already felt, because that's what killed Him, our sin. It wasn't the Jews, it wasn't the Romans. It was our sin that killed Him and put Him under. And He took that so we could be whole. And we can bring our anguish and feelings of hatred and anxiety to Him. And He was whipped so we could be healed. He died for our salvations. Here towards the end, I want to go ahead and I want to tell you 7 statements that Christ made while He was on the cross. Number 1, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Luke 23:34. These guys and women beat Him to a bloody pulp. They whipped Him. They smacked Him. They picked His beard. And ladies, you may not know that, but gentlemen, when you know how it feels, somebody pulls a beard hair out. It hurts. Okay, but it did not hurt as bad as that crown of thorn on His head and the nails in His feet and the ripping, the flogging on His back, where the whip that they had little metal pieces and barbed wire kind of things and glass and all kind of heavy stuff like that, and He hit it and it ripped His back. Some even say you could see His organs. He was so beat up. And in the midst of all that He did, they spit on Him. And for 6 hours, they tortured Him. And He still looked through His bloody eyes and said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. You know why He could forgive them? Because He was looking through the blood. And it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from our sins. So He wasn't looking at them in His own flesh. He was looking through that blood. And if Jesus Christ can forgive somebody, because I hear people all the time, well, I can't forgive them. You don't know what they did to me. Well, what it is not that I don't know what they did to you. It's you forgot what God did for you. And so that's the thing. We say, I can't forgive them. But you ain't been through what Christ been through 6 hours on that horrible cross. What you got to understand is when you forgive somebody, you are not saying, oh, it's okay. What they did was okay to me. No, you're saying, I'm not going to let you control my mind no more. I'm giving you to God. God can punish you and take care of you better than I can. I've got to be free. I've got to walk in happiness and joy. As long as I have this unforgiveness, I never will. So I've got to let it go. So God, You did that on the cross for me. If You forgave them, I can forgive somebody too. And we got to grow up and be big boys and girls and say, you know what, I can do it. Rather than whining and crying, I don't want to forgive them. Number 2, I say unto you today you'll be with me in paradise. Luke 23:43. 2 men were on the cross with Jesus. One of them turned towards Jesus and said, "Remember me." The other one cursed him and turned away. They heard the same thing. They saw the same thing. But one was sensitive to the Spirit and said, "You know what? Look what this man's done." And when he said, all he said, he didn't have no big sinner's prayer. All he said was, "Remember me." That was it. And when he did that, Jesus looked over and said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." He never got a chance to go read the Torah. He never got a chance to go down and tell everybody he was sorry. He never got a chance to go to a small group. He never got a chance to go to church. Nothing. "Today, you're going to be with me in paradise." All it takes is that change of heart. Number three, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." John 19, 26, 27. In the middle of all this torture, he remembered family is first. And he remembered and looked at his mom and said, "John, take care of mama. Mama, John's going to take care of you. You take care of him." And after that day, John took Mary into his house and took care of her as his mother. Jesus values that. And then in Matthew 27, 45 and 15, 34, it's actually a quote from Psalms 22. My God, why have you forsaken me?" In Hebrew, that scripture says that the way he probably would have said it was, "Eulai, Eulai, lama sabathani." And that meant, my God, he felt lonely too, just like you're feeling right now. He felt lonely. He felt like God left him. In the worst time of my life, here I am. Are you forsaking me, Lord? But does anybody even think that God was not there? No, he was there. He knew that he needed to go through that so we could be saved. He knew there was greatness coming out of that moment. He was there. He didn't like it. But he said, "I can turn this around for the good." And whatever you're going through and you feel lonely, you feel like God forsaken you, I'm here to tell you God is here today with you. And he says, "I can turn it all around for the good, but you've got to come to me. You've got to give it up. You've got to quit this mess you're in." Just like somebody that got saved last Sunday came down here. And I saw him at a wedding. They said, "Monday and Tuesday." They said, "Ever since I saw you, conviction hit me. I was crying all day Monday and all day Tuesday. I couldn't even go to work. And God just told me, I have to come to church and I have to stop my mess and get things right." And they did. And they said, "This has been the greatest week or two in my life that I've had." But he said, "I just feel so free. I feel so joyful and so happy." Number five, showed his humanity in John 19, 28. He just said, "I thirst." Just showing I'm thirsty. Because see, he was God in the flesh, right? But he was fully God and fully man. But when he walked this earth, he was 100% man. He never used his God powers or his superpowers. He always allowed God to flow through him to do what he did. Now, he could have. He could have called 10,000 angels and jumped off there and whipped everybody up. Took them all out. Well, why, Pastor? If he was God, why did he stay a human and let God work through him rather than him doing his own thing? Well, because if he did that, we would all say, "Well, I can't do that. You're God. I saw what you did. You used your God powers. I ain't got those powers. I'm just a human." So he stayed a human so we could see God work through a human to do great things. And then he said, "Look, what I did, you're even going to do greater things." So it showed his humanity. And then Matthew 27, 46 and Mark 15, 34, he said, "It is finished." In other words, everything I come to do is now completed. I'm complete. It's done. It's over. I have completed. I have done everything that I have come to do. And then Luke 23, 46, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Again, showing, "I'm giving my life. You ain't take it." He's letting everybody know. Look, he said it out for everybody to hear it. "Oh, we killed him." No. "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. I'm giving myself to you. Life of power and death in your tongue." And then here at the very end, I don't know if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon before, but over 1 million acres of land or so. It's over 277 miles long, 1 mile deep, and 18 miles wide at the deepest point. And you may be standing on one side of that Grand Canyon looking way over at God on the other side, and saying, "I hear you, Pastor, but there's a long way between me and God." But Jesus on the cross is the bridge between you and God. And he bridges that chasm. He bridges that gap between you and God. I don't care how big the gap is, that cross grows and reaches you right where you're at. I tell my people all the time, everybody at Kingdom Impact, I say all the time, I want you to be the bridge, and have Christ in your heart, and I want you to allow the bridge of Christ in your heart to bridge across to somebody else's heart so they can walk across and meet Jesus. And maybe you're standing here today and you got a chasm of broken dreams and sadness and hurt and betrayal, unspeakable loss, doubt, fear, pain, turmoil. You've been trying it on your own and your life stinks. It's horrible. You're like, man, it's just horrible and it's just not good. My life is horrible, but you know what? I'm so far from God. I've done so much. There's so much to change. I don't know if I can make the change. Listen, you know, I say it all the time, and I said it whenever I was a youth pastor. Whenever you go mud bogging, you get all muddy and cruddy, and you go into the bathroom, you don't stop by the sink, wash your armpits, wash your feet, wash behind your ears, and then get in the shower. You just get in the shower. That's it. And then that cleanses you. When you come to Christ, you don't clean up stuff. You still may drink tomorrow. You still may smoke tomorrow. You still may cuss this week. But you're saved now, and God will sanctify you. Old school church, you got saved if you did anything wrong this week. Well, you really weren't saved, then you don't really know God. That's a lie from hell. That's not God. That's not God's grace. God's grace says, okay, you come to me with everything. Sometimes, yes, sometimes he can immediately eradicate all things. And he does that sometimes. But in most cases, it's a process. Just like a child. Okay, we think it's okay for a child to walk and he falls down. And then he walks and falls down. We don't have a problem with that. Why can't we just stand our children up and say, walk or you ain't really a human? Why are we okay with our children falling? We pick them up and say, it's okay. Just keep trying. You'll make it. You'll get better. I'll help you. I'm here with you. We're okay with that. But us as Christians, we're not okay with someone getting saved and then still struggling a little bit as they walk through it. And if they stay committed to it, I don't care how many times they fall between here and the cross, a million times, as long as they get up and keep going to the cross, they are okay. But when they get up, whether you're a brand new Christian or you're an older Christian, and you turn right away from the cross, I'd say turn away and then I turn right to the cross. So if you turn away from the cross and walk the other direction, then that's when you got issues. And I'm here to tell you today that you came today for Holy Spirit to lead you and to save your soul from the sin you're in. And you've tried it. Some of you in here have even tried it before, and you didn't do it. You're like, okay, I tried. It's just not going to work. But I'm here to tell you that if you're here, I'm going to be with you. First off, God's going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. We're going to be with you, and we'll help you walk through it. We're not going to leave you by yourself. And we're not going to judge you. We're going to help you. We're going to disciple you. It does no good for people just to get saved and then never be discipled, because they end up going right back the way they were. It does no good just for you to receive Christ and then, okay, best of luck to you. So if you keep coming, we're going to help you. We're going to disciple you. We're going to be there with you. Hallelujah. Christians, pray. I'm going to ask you right now, if you bow your hand, close your eyes. If we can turn the first little light on, the lowest level, just so I can see. I don't want to miss anybody. If you're in here and you would say, Pastor Doug, I'm not a Christian. I don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. If I die today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I don't care if you've done it before or not. You're like, if I die today, I'm not sure. I don't think I'd go to heaven. But I want to receive. I want to go to heaven. I want God's love. I want God's forgiveness. I want God's help. I can do that. I know I can do it with Christ. I know I can do it with your help and with the church's help and with God's help. I think this time I can stay in the road. This time I feel like I can do it. I hope I can do it. I want to do it. Would anybody just raise their hand right now and say, I just want to receive Christ. I want Christ to come in my life. I won't embarrass you. This is Easter. I'm not going to do that. But I want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand right now. Come on. It's Easter. This is the day to do it. You rose from the dead. Now it's time for Christ rose from the dead. Now it's time for you to have your spirit risen from the dead. Yes. Amen. I see your hand. Praise God. Okay, the first hand went up. You can put it down now. Anybody? Who else? Who else? There's more of you, I promise. I know it because God gave me a number that I wanted to hear before we even began. Last week. Who else want to receive Christ? Who else says, I want to receive Christ? I want to come to the Lord. Even if you're online, you can message us or you can ask online right now and we'll reach out to you. Anybody else? I'm not going to wait a long time, but I want to give you an opportunity. I know your heart's beating fast right now and you're thinking about it and you're like, I know that's me, but I'm scared to raise my hand. Be bold and raise your hand. Don't be scared. You ain't got to be scared of the enemy. Greater is he that's in you than he that's anywhere in the way of the world. So we got one. Anybody else? Real quick, I'm going to go on. I'm not going to labor here long. Anybody else? I know there's more of you that want to. Okay. We're going to pray. And we're going to pray it all together because I know there's more of you. All I want you to do is after service, come down and tell me, Pastor, I received Christ. Maybe you're a little intimidated right now. We're just going to pray this prayer together, and God's going to come, and He's going to touch us, and He's going to minister to us right now. Dear Heavenly Father, repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, come into my heart. Forgive me for my sins. I need you. I'm lost without you. I believe you died on the cross and rose from the dead, and you died for me. I accept you right now in my heart. I know it's going to be hard, but I know you got me. I know I'm going to fail, but you're going to pick me up. I receive you. I renounce my ex-life, and I ask you in my heart to be my Lord and my Savior. I am a Christian. You are my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer, please come let me know. I did say ex-life. I did not say ex-wife. Okay, some of you are thinking, oh, okay. Okay, forgive. All right. All right. God bless you. We love you so much. You're a big deal to me. Hey, real fast before you leave. John, have you got that thing? I want to put this up. That was my fault. I sent a PDF rather than the right kind for him to be able to use. So if we could put the Mother's Day thing up, I want you to see this because this is important. On Mother's Day, we are going to have, or maybe I sent the wrong one again. We're good? Okay, go ahead. Are we good? There it is. Okay, we have Michelle Duncan. We're going to have the Mrs. America, United States is going to be here. The reigning one, 2022-2023. So the reigning one, not one, I'm Mrs. America, but from 2010, you know. No, this year, she's going to be here, right? She's going to be here, and her husband, Keith Duncan, is going to be here. He's a psalmist, and he has done a lot of Throne Zone stuff, and he's a great musician. So please come. It's going to be beautiful. We want you to be here. So this is a reason to come back. Come back every week. We would love to have you. If you haven't signed a form that says Connection, Dwayne, if you could grab some connection cards right there, people leave, if they could just fill those out and give them to us so we can keep up with you. For those of you who don't want it, I would love to keep up with you and let you know when things are happening. God bless you. We love you. Be careful. Hey, please be patient because when you leave today, there's a lot of cars out there. Just give grace, okay? Because we're going to be out of here. We're going to be out of here before long. The more y'all keep coming, we'll go to two services. And then after two services, then we'll just get out of here probably by next year. And so please give grace today until we can. Y'all can keep coming and we can keep going through services. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.